This is the PR Podcast, a show about how public relations helps you tell your story to the world. We talk with great PR practitioners who have the skills, creativity, and just plain savvy to get their clients noticed. Now here's your host, Jody Fisher.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the PR Podcast. I'm Jody Fisher. Thanks for joining us. Well, today's PR Podcast plug goes out to Paul Fioriga, President and Chief Storyteller at WordWrite, an exceptional PR agency. Paul is a past guest of the show, and just recently I taped an episode of his new podcast, Storylines Live, Conversations with CEOs, Storytellers, and Fellow Podcasters on the Marketing Podcast Network. Now, it's just getting going, and he's doing a great job, so please check it out. You know, Paul helps clients get top results by uncovering, developing, and sharing their capital S story. He's trademarked that, and I just love that, that capital S story, which is the one that explains why someone should buy from you, work for you, invest in you, or partner with you. He's got a great perspective and is a terrific guy, so check him out. Paul Fioriga and the Storylines Live podcast on the Marketing Podcast Network. That is your PR podcast plug for this week. Now, if you want your own PR podcast plug, where we can plug something just like that, whether it's your podcast or your really cool TikTok channel or your amazing guitar hobby or whatever you got. It's not your 9-to-5, right? It's your passion project. Let us know so we can love on you. Send an email to jody@jodyfisherpr.com or reach out on one of my socials or on one of the PR podcast socials and send us your PR podcast plug. We would love to feature you at the top of an upcoming show. Now on with our show today and our terrific guest. Lauren Kleiman is a mother, serial entrepreneur, and trailblazer in media and publishing. In 2019, she founded Dream Day, coining the term performance PR for her agency, combining traditional PR with affiliate marketing to drive data-driven results. Inspired by her experience working with top publishers and performance marketing agencies at Ritual, Lauren also co-founded her second company, The Quality Edit, which is a modern media company that curates the internet's best brands and helps advertisers drive 20% lower customer acquisition cost and 30% higher return on ad spend through their performance publishing approach that combines creative content and editorial to drive sales and performance. Now, prior to Dream Day, she was the Quality Edit. Lauren was a part of an iconic vitamin brand, Ritual's founding team as its VP of marketing and held roles at companies like Start Engine and Scopely. Lauren, welcome to the PR Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I got tripped up a little bit on your intro there, and that's only because I've got the garage up, the door up in the PR garage today, and a giant jet went overhead.
Could not hear it on my end at all.
There. So my apologies for booting your resume, which is a very impressive one. Tell us more about your company and your philosophy about it.
Honestly, it was beautifully said. Didn't hear the jet at all. But yeah, I think, you know, my background has always been in kind of this interesting intersection between kind of storytelling and performance. I think you know, as I started to kind of go on in my career, I became really interested in PR and helping get a brand story told and told well. And then I am, like, you know, very results oriented, and I got a little frustrated and I started thinking, you know, I wish there was ways to kind of leverage, you know, press for the long term of the brand, or ways to really, like, understand kind of the performance of how press is performing. And that's kind of where I discovered affiliate marketing. And kind of, I saw how the publishing landscape was really evolving. This was like 8 years ago, but at the time, unfortunately, a lot of top tier publishers were firing a lot of traditional editors, but really hiring commerce editors. And I saw how publishing was kind of struggling to stay alive with print dying. And the main way that publishers were making money was through commerce revenue. And so kind of around the same time, you know, I had managed a lot of the best PR agencies, you know, in America, I would say, and was also kind of struggling to find an affiliate agency that I could really trust with our brand while at Ritual. And I saw a lot of challenges in managing PR agencies. We, like I said, worked with a lot of the best, and they were all, you know, really incredible. But there were some challenges around, you know, feeling like maybe we're working with junior team members a lot, or feeling like most notably the publicists that we were working with really had no understanding of, okay, they get you that piece of press, but then what happens next? And how does that piece of press really impact the bottom line for the company? Or how can we actually use those data and insights to inform who we're pitching, which publications we're pitching, which angles are actually resonating? And so, you know, similarly, like I said, I could not find an affiliate agency that I trusted with our brand. Ritual was a brand that really did not discount, very high integrity brand, very protective of kind of, you know, the ways that they showed up. And I think affiliate marketing really deserved its bad rap. Like, it was a lot of really, you know, shady sites, and you think of these, you know, deal sites, and you know, just a lot of crap, honestly. And when I was kind of interviewing different affiliate agencies, I found that most of the levers that they're pulling are really around kind of bottom of funnel partners, deal and loyalty, very like cookie cutter approach. You know, I myself have interviewed affiliate candidates at some of these agencies that are managing sometimes 50 or 60 brands single-handedly, or clients, I should say, single-handedly. And I'm like, how do you have, you know, enough attention span and time or energy to do that? And, you know, they share, like, we have a machine. It's kind of just a formula, and it's a cookie cutter approach, one size fits all. And so honestly, I didn't know what I was kind of stumbling into, but I did a lot of really interesting, innovative partnerships while at Ritual, wherein I was doing things like basically taking editorial that publishers were creating. I can speak to, you know, BuzzFeed specifically, and then amplifying them on our paid social channels, which is what essentially became part of the business model for the Quality Edit. So taking a piece of content, really leveraging that through the lifetime of the brand, wherein you're taking paid, you know, paid social spends. So Facebook, Instagram ads, driving that to the content specifically. And that, like I said, became what inspired the Quality Edit. But separately, I was working with all these top tier publishers in an affiliate capacity, trying to get Ritual on, you know, gift guides, or you know, just in kind of I tried it pieces. And like I said, was seeing how the publishing, you know, landscape was evolving, and realized that PR needed a lot of what affiliate had, and affiliate needed a lot of what PR had. Affiliate was lacking kind of the storytelling and the finesse that great publicists have, and publicists were lacking kind of the data and insights that affiliate marketers could gain. And like I said, I saw affiliate agencies, you know, were not really focused on top of funnel. They were not working with top tier publishers and forging those relationships. And I think meeting really publishers where they're at, and where publishers are at, and this is kind of what I stumbled into, is that they, yes, they're interested in, of course, maintaining editorial integrity and, you know, sharing with their audience the most interesting brands and products that are going to authentically resonate with their audience. But they're also interested in a business opportunity. And how do we, you know, work with brands that have higher AOVs or have high conversion rates and are going to offer competitive commission rates, so that as a publisher, you know, they can be monetizing that content properly and, you know, thrive as a business in their own right. So long story short, when I left Ritual, I started consulting on kind of everything under marketing and growth. But what I realized that a lot of brands needed and, you know, had no idea where to start was really a lot of what I had done at Ritual around forging these direct relationships with every major top tier publisher, figuring out how to really amplify content, and, you know, driving kind of these, you know, press pieces that could ultimately, you know, impact the bottom line for companies. So about a year into marketing and growth consulting, I decided to double down on this idea that I coined called performance PR. So the way that I define performance PR is really sitting at the intersection of affiliate marketing and PR, and kind of doing both as part of one synergistic strategy. So a lot of times you might have an agency where like affiliate, you know, works on one side of the building and PR works on another side, and the one hand doesn't talk to the other. But we take a really synergistic approach at Dream Day, wherein we are, you know, constantly sharing insights across teams of what affiliate is seeing, what PR is seeing. A lot of time we'll do like a dual pronged pitch, I call it, where we're not only pitching editors and commerce editors, but we're pitching affiliate managers at the same time as well. So again, not only sharing what's interesting and compelling about a brand or a product, but also what the business opportunity of partnering with that brand for the publisher is. Again, whether that's, you know, commission rate or just the link to join their affiliate program or, you know, their AOV historical performance with the publication, et cetera. So that's what we've been doing here at Dream Day to date over the last 3 years. The Quality Edit is a publication and a media company. We built an awesome kind of advertising engine within it and working with amazing clients and, like you said, helping improve their kind of customer acquisition goals and helping them find scale and efficiency on paid social. Been really lucky to be building both companies kind of in parallel over the last few years.
Let's talk about the storytelling angle of what you brought up there. We all know that we're storytellers as PR people. How do you identify the stories that you think are going to drive the performance PR, the affiliate marketing side of your business? What stories work the best?
Absolutely. Such a great question. I'm so glad that you asked this. I think we really try to think like a publisher at Dream Day ourselves. You know, we will think about what would the headline be with every pitch. And we try to make that actually like the subject line for our pitches. So we look at including a lot of sold out data. For example, you know, this, skincare or hair product was sold out 5 times. Now it's back in stock, be the first to get it here, right? And for a publisher, they know that kind of those sold out kind of stats provide a lot of third party credibility and can drive a lot of clicks and revenue. We also try to include any sort of like celebrity or major influencer endorsers kind of within our pitches. So that also adds a lot of third party, you know, validation, obviously, and celebrities get clicks, you know, in headlines. So we try to work that into our pitches as well. In terms of kind of the actual stories that we've seen drive the most revenue, definitely dedicated I tried it pieces. So, you know, as a customer, and try to also think like a customer. You know, seeing a piece that's like, I tried this vitamin for 90 days and this is, you know, what changed in my body or in my hair or skin or what have you. Those types of I tried it pieces always tend to perform, you know, really well or have a high conversion rate. They're dedicated, they're focused on the brand, and the editor is authentically, you know, walking the customer through their experience in trying the product and helping the customer make a really informed purchasing decision. So those can be really great and valuable pieces for a brand. Another focus of ours kind of within the agency is we do what we call SERP analyses. So we will look at specific keywords that people may be searching for when they're trying to look for the brand. So let's say for, you know, Fly by Jing, they make an amazing chili crisp. So we'll look at, you know, hot sauces as a keyword. We'll look at chili crisps as a keyword. We'll look at like non-GMO sauces as a keyword. And then we will audit kind of all of the articles that show up there and look to, if our client is not included, look to get them retroactively added into those listicles because there's such high search intent. And because, you know, the customers that are looking specifically for a chili crisp, like definitely should know about Fly by Jing. So we'll retroactively try to get our clients included in all those listicles. We will also proactively try to include those keywords in all of our pitches. We've been told firsthand by editors that they will like use their inbox as a search tool. So let's say again, with Fly by Jing, we're pitching Fly by Jing, including, you know, best chili crisp of 2023, for example, might be a really valuable keyword to include because maybe an editor is not going to write that story, you know, today, but 6 months from now, when they're searching their inbox, they'll come in and they'll find it. So we try to be really thoughtful about the keywords that we're including in our pitches. And like I said, retroactively going after those high volume press pieces that can drive performance. And then the next one that comes to mind is just, you know, gift guides, which are really obviously, you know, high intent shopping moments. Dream Day actually works with a lot of very giftable brands and high volume press clientele. We have a lot of clients that typically might get like 200 pieces of press in just 1 month, which I think partly I'll take a little bit of credit for on behalf of our team for our dual pronged approach. But we tend to also just work with a lot of really giftable brands. You know, publishers like those brands as well, because if you think about how often a gift guide comes out, whether that's Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, holiday, there's always a moment for promotion, and they're going to be making more money as publishers from those products and from those brands. So we also work with those types of brands, and we do find that, you know, gift guides are really lucrative for a lot of our clients that, again, are, you know, really highly giftable, just brands and products in their own rights.
Are those the types of clients that work best for your application PR, especially with affiliate marketing, clients who are basically selling some kind of a product or a consumable?
Absolutely. Yeah, we work, you know, it's interesting. We used to say, oh, we work with D2C, you know, brands only. And now the landscape has shifted so much over the last 3 years that there's no D2C only brands, really. All D2C brands want to be wherever the customer is now. So, you know, you see them more going into Amazon and going into retail and really showing up wherever they can. And, you know, that's also one of the reasons is also just the iOS 13 kind of shifts and rising customer acquisition costs. And that has kind of, you know, made, I think, a lot of these brands, you know, want to pull spend off of Facebook and like invest more, you know, in affiliate marketing. So, that's kind of another reason as well.
Are there other types of clients? I mean, I work with some nonprofits. I work with some, clients across healthcare, higher ed, financial services. Have you found application, if you have you found application for any other types of clients, sort of the clients that aren't selling the t-shirt or the chili sauce, right, or the, you know, whatever? Have you found application for your business with those types of clients as well, or no?
Not as much, honestly. I think our focus, we like to stay true to our bread and butter, which is D2C first, I'll say, CPG brands. And you know, I think there are other brands that we've come across, which we've referred to, you know, other amazing agencies. We tend to refer to LaRue a lot, which I know, I think Jesse was on your podcast as well. We tend to refer kind of those brands to other agencies that have a more kind of, you know, full service, if you will, approach. And maybe those brands aren't as focused on affiliate marketing, because let's say you have like an app, for example. I don't know what kind of app you have, but let's say you have like a healthcare app or something. There's just not that many instances where consumer publications are going to be mentioning you and including an affiliate link. It's just not going to happen, you know, very often. You might get like the Fast Company, you know, founder feature, or you might get like the Inc, you know, brand story, but it's not going to have affiliate links, and those pieces aren't going to be like driving direct revenue through the affiliate channel or for the publisher. I would say the most kind of maybe outside of like our bread and butter client is kind of like a FabFitFun, which is not, you know, just selling like one product. It's more of like a box, but still, even in that case, it's a subscription box. You know, can offer very high and competitive commission rates on their behalf. And so we really try to make sure that whatever brands we're representing, we're making sure that at the end of the day, publishers are, you know, getting rewarded and are incentivized for including those clientele. And then we basically refer all other leads to other agencies.
That makes total sense. In terms of the ROI, which has got to be wonderful for the clients you represent, and you can really draw a straight line from your work to the ROI in the form of, you know, money in their cash register, right?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the advantages. So kind of in all of our reporting, you know, at the end of the month, we can show, here's all the press that we garnered for you this month, which is a result of both the PR team's work and the affiliate team's work. And, you know, here are the, you know, the amount of revenue or the amount of clicks, at least, that each press piece drove. So I think it's really interesting. You know, I think for the first time, we've been able to make PR quantifiable, make PR, you know, data-driven, which was always, you know, really a frustration, I think, from the brand side of like, okay, we're paying this, you know, 10, 15K, let's say, you know, PR retainer, what are we actually getting back from it? And I think this was part of my frustration also at Ritual was like, you'd see PR agencies that traditionally use like a UVPM metric, which, you know, in my mind is kind of useless at this point. It's like, no, you know, 40 billion people did not see the press, you know, this
right.
month.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Just not, like, it's always this insane, you know, number. And it's like, it didn't, you know, if you look at our Google Analytics stats, like, no, we barely had any, you know, traffic increase or what have you. So it's like, no, it, you know, at the end of the day, I think awareness for awareness sake is really valuable. And people going to Google and seeing, you know, editors talking about a product or even other customers, like any sort of third party validation and credibility is incredibly valuable for a brand in its own right, even if it's not, you know, driving, you know, revenue. But I think the next piece after you have those stake in the ground type of pieces, the next piece is like, okay, how do we create kind of this PR, you know, engine that is actually going to be quantifiably, you know, impacting kind of our bottom line on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it makes total sense. So if you are a client or if you're a business, let's say, who's considering this type of a program, are there things you need to do to prepare your business to be successful with your type of a PR program? What things do people, do businesses have to line up before they engage in this?
Yeah, that's such a great question as well. I would say, you know, we specifically look for mission-driven brands. We try to work with, you know, kind of category-defining brands. As an agency, we're kind of the antithesis of like the traditional agency grow-to-grow model. We really tend to take on clients that we ourselves truly believe in. Often before taking on a client, our entire team will have to try that product and we'll have to all vouch and kind of sign off on it. So I think one is, you know, we specifically look for mission-driven brands. We look for brands with really strong founder stories. We also look for brands that have really strong, you know, product market fit. I think that's really important. And also just have a product that speaks for itself, right? Like I always kind of use the analogy of like, we can lead the horse to water, but we can't force it to drink, right? So our job is to get your product and brand.
Oh, but if we could. Oh,
I know, that would be so nice. Write this exact story we want right now. But, you know, our job is to get the product and brand into, you know, as many of the most relevant editors' hands as possible. And then your job is to have that product, you know, perform when they actually try it or use it. So we look for really strong, you know, products as well. We're also really proud to represent, you know, the majority of our clients are female-led or female-founded brands. So you know, we have obviously a female founded agency, and I just learned that less than 1% of agencies are female founded, which blew my mind completely. So we're proud to be in the less than 1% of agencies that are female founded. And I think with that are really excited to represent, you know, female founded or female led brands. The majority of our clientele are also BIPOC or API founded companies. Over half of them are really focused on sustainability. So I think, you know, we really look for brands, again, that, you know, we ourselves are really passionate about. And I think that passion translates into our pitches and really into all of our communication, kind of every touch point, you know, with the brand. I think, you know, tactically also to work with us, you know, we look for like a certain revenue number, which for us kind of shows that you've like found kind of your footing, you know, in the ecosystem and you're kind of onto something that is working. With that also, we work with usually brands that have, you know, high, search traffic, because that is something that publishers will look at as well. You know, how many people are searching for this brand, and that way they can kind of validate that there is a large, you know, percentage of people that are just going to be searching for this brand and then going to be landing on kind of the editorial that they're creating.
sure that makes sense. There's a market and built-in market for it. Yeah, it's kind of similar to what I tell clients about, making sure that you get coverage in smaller, more reachable publications before you shoot for the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times, because the reporter at the New York Times gets the pitch. The first thing they do is Google. And if they don't come up with anything on Google, they're like, who is this person?
Exactly.
Same kind of application is what you're saying, right?
Yep. That's exactly right.
Makes a lot of sense. What's the future of this? I mean, the future seems to be unlimited to me. I mean, but give us your inside view.
Yeah. I mean, I believe we are kind of trailblazing this performance PR model. I do believe this is the future of consumer PR. We also do thought leadership. You know, we do those broader brand stories that do not include affiliate links. And I still think that is, you know, so important, as I mentioned earlier on the podcast. But I do believe the future of consumer PR is, you know, this performance PR approach. And I believe if you're pitching, you know, a product and you don't have an affiliate link, you are at an incredible disadvantage within the landscape. So having a team, you know, behind you that is really understanding kind of how you can stand out from competitors within the affiliate space, and, you know, how you can really make sure that, again, you're meeting publishers kind of where that they're at and understanding kind of what they're looking for is going to be of, you know, utmost importance. So I really see these two channels between PR and affiliate just continuing to converge. You know, I think the demand for performance PR has definitely gone up since we've, you know, kind of coined this term over the last 3 years. And so we're really kind of excited about, you know, the future there and to kind of, you know, be leading the charge on performance PR. And I think maybe just more generally, you know, around some trends that we're seeing, I think the reality is it's really challenging out there for a lot of direct to consumer brands. I think there's like a lot of institutional pressure. You know, like I said, D2C only doesn't really work anymore. So a lot of, you know, brands are really forced to kind of diversify their channels, which is great for, again, great for affiliate as a channel, because it's the perfect channel that combines, you know, storytelling and performance kind of all into one. So I think that's really helpful. But I think there's also just a lot of like macro trends at play around, you know, COVID was kind of the first time that customers were buying any sort of D2C products online. And so there was a huge boom in D2C over the last 3 years. And I think that's become a bit more challenging now, kind of post COVID, as people are going out and buying things more in retail. You know, there's some been looming several year long, like fears of an upcoming recession. So there's a lot of kind of challenges. I think right now there's a lot of, I don't know, murky waters, and everyone's just trying to do their best to kind of navigate, you know, where to sit within kind of the ecosystem.
I feel like we're always in murky waters, don't you?
Yeah, it's true. There's always a challenge. I think it's part of entrepreneurship as well. Every day there's another fire.
When has it ever been clear sailing?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess, I feel like there's just a lot of changes. I feel like maybe there's always been, you know, changes in PR, and I'm, you know, a bit newer. I only have 10 years of kind of PR experience. And I'm sure it's, you know, always been shifting and evolving through multiple different waves. But I feel like right now in particular is a really interesting kind of inflection point. I mean, you do see also just like so many publishers are going under, right? Like every day, another publisher completely, you know, falling, or, you know, like closing down their print operation or what have you. So do feel like there's especially a lot of kind of waves in the ecosystem at this particular moment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, but I'm sure that you are helping your clients navigate that space. So sounds like they're in great shape, and so are you.
Thank you.
Lauren, thanks very much for sharing your expertise here. We appreciate it. We're going to segue now into the rapid fire question portion of our podcast. This is where we steal a page from Inside the Actor's Studio, ask our guests a series of rapid fire questions meant to elicit a simple answer, maybe a laugh or two. With your indulgence, Lauren Kleinman, let's ask you rapid fire question number one. What's your favorite news source?
Oh God. In the pandemic, I had to delete all of my news apps. I became so overwhelmed by like all of the notification and the doomsday fear mongering, to be completely honest. So right now I am the worst publicist in having no news apps on my phone. It's pretty ironic actually, but I do read a lot of kind of publications just on the web. Mostly consumer based, just to figure out kind of where the trends are, you know, editorially. And then for like my actual news, that is not just reading about awesome products every day. I typically will just look at Twitter and kind of see what's rising to the top there. So I guess it's not called Twitter anymore. I should be calling it X. But I will look at X.
I think we're all going to struggle with that one still.
Yeah.
we can talk about that. That's a whole other podcast. Yes. We can talk about that branding decision. Yes. But this, it's not about, that's not about, this show is not about X. It's about you. And so let's find out, rapid fire question number two, what's your favorite social media platform?
Talking about this with their chief of staff the other day, LinkedIn. I love LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn all the time, and it's such a nerdy, you know, response, but I feel like we found a lot of our best candidates there. I find so much interesting, you know, news that founders are sharing there. And a lot of times I'll just, you know, kill time on LinkedIn searching for, you know, different candidates or interesting people, interesting stories. And I use Instagram as well, but I feel like I get more intellectual stimulation out of LinkedIn.
Yeah, I agree. Rapid fire question number three, Lauren, coffee or alcohol?
Neither. I am a decaf coffee drinker. I gave up caffeine like 2 years ago, and I will drink occasionally, but I hate the way it makes me feel. I feel like I'm almost like allergic to it. So I've just kind of weaned off of it more and more lately as well.
All right.
It's hard to be a mom, you know, and be like, you don't want to be hungover. You can't really drink. And I'm totally a lightweight. With one drink, I have a headache. So I feel like I've given up the vices.
Yeah. It makes things easier. I gave up drinking 5 years ago and I've never regretted it. So
yeah.
Every time I drink, I regret it. Number. Oh yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. I can still remember the next morning, like, oh, what was that for?
Yeah.
All right. Rapid fire question number four, Lauren, what's your favorite on the run food?
On the run food. God, I'm going to go with an apple. It's so boring as well, but you know, I always have apples in the house. I have recently just really been eating a lot of apples. So I'm going to go with an apple.
Apple never disappoints. It never disappoints.
Apple a day, you know, that's what I'm going for.
All right, then. And rapid fire question number five, what do you want to be after you finish this career?
I love this question because I've thought about, you know, will I finish this career? I'm like, I feel like I love this and I'm good at it and I'm passionate about it. We have the most amazing team. But, you know, let's say there's an instance where I retire. I want to be the best mom. I want to be a philanthropist and I would be an artist all in one.
That sounds like a lot of work even after you finish working. Wonderful stuff. Well, Lauren, this has been a great conversation. Please let people know how they can find you online.
Yeah. Our Dream Day website is Dream Day. DREAMDAY.LA. Our quality edit website is thequalityedit.com. You can find all the web's best brands and products on there. And my email is lauren@dreamday.LA or lauren@thequalityedit.com if you want to reach me directly.
Love it. We will look you up. Thanks again, Lauren. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the show. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The PR Podcast and send us a question or a comment. Our intro is by Christopher Apple. You can find him and his fantastic photography on Instagram at Christopher_APPOLDT. Check him out there and hire him for all your photography needs. You can find me online at Jody Fisher on all the socials and on the web at jodyfisherpr.com. We'll see you next time on the PR Podcast.